Ruffalo's outside. He's the cash.
All right, okay, what does he want?
Two Pfizers, a Moderna, and an Oatly.
He wants an Oatly. What does he think I am? Sacha Baron Postmates. All right.
What is happening?
Whoa!
Are you selling, when you said Ruffalo, are you selling vaccines to Mark Ruffalo?
Leave it, Jimmy!
All right, I'm sorry.
Tyler, you look higher than Don Jr. Have you been, you've been drinking any vaccines? How many have you had?
Two, I've had two.
How many?
I've had 15. Oh my God.
You know, this is, well, besides this, I think this is illegal, but it also seems like you should be focusing on, like, your, you know, Oscar campaign. You're nominated for awards. You're nominated for a SAG Awards. It seems like you should be focused on the Oscars right now, right?
This is my Oscar campaign. Jimmy, put it this way. None of the Hollywood foreign press are catching COVID anytime soon.
What's going on?
No, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine.
Shut up.
All right.
Oh, my
God. We got it. We're good, we're good, we're
sorry,
good.
Sorry, Jimmy.
All right, see you in Panama, bro.
Oh,
my God, that's quite a bit of money. This is...
No, you know, the thing is, there are just such wonderful actors there. You what? Know, we had...
Joshua, where are you going? What's happening?
It's just, you know, Eddie Redmayne, you know, he's won an Oscar. It's just such a privilege.
Yeah, he was very good in that film. Did you and Eddie get along?
I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, Aaron Sorkin, every word is a mouthful. The CDC have got a tank.
Uh-huh. Are you driving right now?
Yeah. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, everything about Sorkin's mastery of language. He's the modern day Shakespeare and Hitchcock. Oh God, yeah.
It looks to me like you're being chased by the police, Sasha. Seems, I don't know if
No, absolutely fine. I mean, it's really about inhabiting the character and just so many wonderful Frank Langella stars of stage and screen.
Yeah. You're on the local news also. I don't know if you're aware of this, Sasha.
Oh, wonderful. Are they talking about the Globes?
No, they're not talking about the Globes. They're actually following your car with a helicopter right now. The police are, it looks like you're pulling. Oh, no. Oh, my God. Are you, Sasha, are you okay?
No, the thing is, you know, playing two characters.
Oh, my God.
Chicago 7. Tell Wesley Snipes he owes me 5G or he can forget the second dose of Pfizer.
I should probably let you go. It looks like you're real busy there right now. Sacha Baron Cohen.
Thank you to the Hollywood Foreign Press. Again.
All women around. Ooh, boy. Can't get in.
Yeah, you know, in Israel, they vaccinate everybody. Israel's way cooler than this lame place.
So then go to Israel.
I tried. I couldn't get in. Tom, I'm outside the hottest place in town, and what we'd like to do now is take you for an exclusive look inside.
You're not getting in, pal.
I'm actually willing to go inside and get a shot so that everyone can see just how safe it is.
I said get lost. You're not getting in. Get out of my face.
Please give me a shot. Please, all I want is a shot. Just that one shot that could change everything. Everyone clear out of the way. Clear the entrance. We have VIPs coming out.
We're to next, everybody. That was our second shot. Let's go to the bar.
Old people suck.
Can't hear you. Got too many antibodies in my ears.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
Thanks this week for the songs from Husker Du, The Beatles, Randy Rainbow, The Velvet Underground, and Lin-Manuel Miranda. And thanks also for the clips and excerpts from Seth Meyers, Joe Biden, Anthony Fauci, Steve Doocy, Stuart Reynolds, Mr. Mackey, and Mr. Adler from South Park, Jimmy Kimmel, Sacha Baron Cohen, and Isla Fisher.
Tonight.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Yo, this sound all right, though. Yo, me and Cool V, this gonna be our new single. And when you hear the story, you say it's all right, though. Yo, Cool V, why'd you give me a cue? One more cue and then I'm ready to go in.
You like when the winter's gone and all of a sudden it start getting warm. The trees and the grass start looking fresh and the sun in the sky be looking at best. Birds be singing, flowers be blooming, a lot of brand new cars be zooming. Fly girls looking the best they could be and the guys be duking, and you see. Besides all that, I like the warm weather, cause that's when you can get yourself together. But I like Easter time with a grin, cause when I little used to go to Coney Island, we used to eat a lot of stuff like cotton candy. Just back then, it was like fine and dandy. You used to get dressed up in double knits and your plaid suit jackets dead with the shit. The good old days was back then, and the reason I reminisce called
it's spring again. Everybody know it's spring again. To the girls and boys and people above, this is the time to fall in love.
Now girls, have you ever broke up with your boyfriend and you felt that the world was coming to an end? Sitting around the house packed for no reason, just because you thought your man was skeezing for a couple of days. Look gloomy and gray, thinking about the old happy days. All of a sudden the telephone ring, he begged for your forgiveness and you know what that brings. Joy and happiness into your life before you felt like your heart was stabbed by a knife. I'm telling you girls, keep the man that you got, cause if you cheat you might need a VD shot. You know two wrongs don't make a right, and if you did something wrong don't do the same, it's not polite. Please don't make this breaking up a trend, because
it's spring again. Oh, everybody know it's spring again. To the girls and boys and people above, this is the time to fall in love.
Now fellas, have you ever met a girl that tried to front and wanted you to act like you was on a hunt? I used to see my homeboys frown and fret for a girl that always trying to play hard to get. I know I quoted myself, I must admit, and said anything you want, you gotta work hard for it. Mean it diabolical, be obsessed, and go out for something that a girl possess? They're really on yours like a pair of drawers. They want you to be like Santa Claus. They want drug dealers and four-wheelers, truck jewelry, they expect you to steal her. Shit, I know they must be bugging. They better hit the streets and do their own mugging. But in this case, you would just overlook her, send her on her way and say, I can't help you, hooker.
It's spring again. Everybody know it's spring again. To the girls and boys and people above, this is the time to fall in love.
Come on, baby. Come on.
Now to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Bacon, sign of evil number 4.
Continuing our sign of evil countdown, here's Vanessa Williams.
Okay, on the phone we have Darian Lehman and Leslie Hannon from WXIR Community Radio in Rochester. Welcome aboard. You are both producers at Reclaiming the Narrative. Can you tell us a bit about that program?
Sure. Reclaiming the Narrative started 3 years ago this month with our first local weekly news broadcast. Our mission is to uplift the stories that mainstream media doesn't cover or doesn't cover adequately. And our goal was to invite community producers, people with an interest in reporting on the issues affecting our community, invite them in, train them up if they needed training, and get them reporting. So we've been running for 3 years now, and it's been a pretty exciting ride.
I glanced through your archives, and I didn't see a full set of shows. Did you have you been consistently producing for every week? For 3 years?
We have, for the most part. Sometimes in the summer, I'm a staff member at WXIR, and we do a lot of summer programs with youth. So we take a little break sometimes in the summer. But we kind of migrated our archive from Mixcloud over to SoundCloud at one point. So we're still working on populating that archive from our first year.
Yeah, the reason I ask is that it's sort of, notoriously difficult to produce consistent programming with, particularly production-intensive programming like news with an all-volunteer crew. So it's impressive. You've been doing it for 3 years. That's awesome. Any challenges in particular you faced?
Yeah, I think, as you point out, being able to develop volunteer reporters who, have day jobs, have lives, have responsibilities, and keep them coming back. I think we're at a point where, the show is almost entirely produced by volunteers. I, as the staff producer, I'm the backstop, and so whatever needs to be produced for a given week, I'll step in. But we're at a point now where we've got 7 regular contributors for our once a week half hour show, all hands on deck all the time. We're really running full steam now, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I listened to a couple of your most recent segments, and it's impressively produced. And I was really struck by the range of different production styles you were using, ranging from like a first person narrative to this great art project from the museum there, I think, and then the news stories as well. What are the kinds of segments that you do? We're speaking to Darian here and also Leslie. You guys are both producers of particular segments.
Yeah. So I have been, again, filling in where. We need to fill in, but we try to figure out what each contributor is interested in and passionate about. And, Leslie has kind of done a little bit of everything, and most recently has been producing feature segments. She could certainly talk about the mutual aid segment that she developed and produced for the last few weeks, but her interests and experience, I think, are much even wider ranging than that.
Yeah, most recently I covered some mutual aid organizations that have been cropping up in Rochester since the start of the pandemic, meeting the needs of the community. I feel passionate about covering things that maybe might not be covered otherwise and, kind of the unsung heroes in the community. I started as a photographer, just doing what I was passionate about anyways, and connected just kind of randomly to WXIR and have been reporting ever since. The mutual aid piece was of particular interest to me, and I like that freedom about it. If I see something in the community that I, find passionate in, I can go to Darian and say, hey, this is going on, I'd like to cover it. And there's this freedom to do that. Instead of having, assignments and deadlines and a lot of pressure. And I think that's a good appeal to a lot of people that get into this.
So you have a mixture of breaking news and more featurey things to fill out the show each week?
That's right. So our top half is we typically do kind of news briefs a la Democracy Now!, which was one of the big models for this show. We go on and do some breaking news coverage. And then the second half of the show, we do features, arts and culture, that kind of thing.
I noticed that there's quite a few low-power FMs in Rochester. It seems like it's a wide range of approaches that the stations are taking. Is your program aired on other stations in Rochester?
We are, and we're super excited about that. You know, you're right that there are actually four, if my count is correct, there are four low-power FMs that started all around the same time about 3 years ago in Rochester. And, you know, we've over the years tried to get some collaborations going, and we're really excited that Reclaiming the Narrative is aired on WAYO 104.3 as well. And we're excited that Rochester is a vibrant community media town. It's a town that, like other places, especially in the Rust Belt, has been devastated by, you know, media downsizing. You know, the main paper of record here running on a skeleton crew for many years. So, you know, the need for community news is great. And the interest in people have in producing that news themselves is great as well. So we're so happy that we're able to fill that need, and that we have partners in other community stations that are also picking up our show.
We're speaking to Darian Lehman and Leslie Hannon from WXIR Community Radio in Rochester, New York. They are both active in the Reclaiming the Narrative public affairs show that airs weekly on WXIR and also other stations in the Rochester area. What do you see as being the key stories that need coverage in Rochester?
Leslie, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, right now, Black Lives Matter movement, you know, is really important to be covering, especially with recent events, with the man that was shot outside the Open Door Mission just last week. There seems to be a history of issues between the police and the community. And I feel that there's some true change on the brink of happening here. And community media is a huge part of that. And I feel like it's important to convey different sides of the story that people might not see in other outlets.
We hear a lot about the police issues in Rochester, and that seems like a key thing that we could be sharing between cities, because I think we feel isolated here. So we're obviously not the only ones facing these problems, but it would be such a strength if we could share strategies and organizing tactics. So hopefully we can maintain a relationship with you guys and share programming on the issues that are of a concern between the cities. And also, Rochester is just such an amazing cultural city. For a city its size, it's incredible. I don't know why. Do you know why it's like that? It's been like that for many years, right?
Yeah. I mean, as a media person, you know, I trace our rich history of media activism back to Frederick Douglass, who founded the North Star newspaper here in the 1840s. And there's a rich history of Black-owned newspaper and Black-owned media. Obviously, the town of Eastman Kodak as well. So visual media is very important in the history of this city as well. So I think there's a lot of factors at play.
So where do you, you said Reclaiming the Narrative has been airing for 3 years now. Where do you see yourself being, or yourselves being, in 3 years?
It's a really great question. I mean, hopefully we can continue to expand our programming, jump up to 60 whole minutes. That would be amazing. You know, bring in interns, be able to pay people to help produce the show. I mean, there's a lot of things that we could do. And, you know, I think the support that we've been slowly building over these years is finally kind of reaching that critical point where it feels like we're on the brink of being, you know, sustainable and able to make that jump to the next level. So I'm hopeful. I don't know how Leslie, as a new contributor, kind of feels about, you know, the prospects for keeping going with this and where she'd like to go. But I'm hopeful that she's excited and willing to take on more projects as well.
Yeah, I definitely see myself continuing on. You know, like I said, a lot of this stuff was things I was doing anyways, things that kind of already had ideas that were in my head. And so finding community media was such a great outlet for that. And I definitely plan on continuing, you know, as long as I can.
Well, Leslie Hannon, Darian Lehman, thanks so much. Keep it going at Reclaiming the Narrative. We'll be listening.
Thanks.
Thanks so much.
You got to try something.
I got a job at the radio station.
Oh, great. That place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
What?
Book. Book.
Lock.
Radio.
Radio.
Seven FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
Travel beyond boundaries on the next Deep Threes as LA producer Shadowy Lines goes about the business of crafting ambient soundscapes. Robbie Robertson rediscovers tape music for a movie soundtrack, and Sweden's Johan Moore Ensemble wails and jams. Deep Threes, where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jack Schoonover of Los Angeles, California. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Sunday night at 10 p.m., there is a new destination for radio. It's WGXC newscaster Philip Grant, and his Solid Gold Soul Countdown is now on WGXC at 10 p.m. Sunday nights. Tune in for R&B hits from the 50s and 60s, along with commentary on African-American history and popular culture of that time on Solid Gold Soul Countdown every Sunday night at 10 p.m. on WGXC.
Now is the time to end the filibuster. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris are barnstorming the country on their Help Is Here tour, promoting the new $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package. This, their first victory lap, may turn out to be their last. The Republican minority in the U.S. Senate seems firmly committed to deploying the filibuster to block all forthcoming Democratic legislation. The filibuster is not enshrined in the Constitution. It could be altered or eliminated through a simple majority vote of the Senate. As Republicans nationally ramp up an unprecedented attack on democracy, with at least 253 laws in 43 states at last count aimed at restricting voting rights, primarily targeting voters of color, and with the certainty of extreme gerrymandering forthcoming as Republican-controlled state legislatures coordinate partisan redistricting, the need to eliminate the filibuster has never been more urgent. The filibuster has long empowered white supremacists to protect and extend slavery, segregation, Jim Crow, and all their modern manifestations, from voter suppression to mass incarceration. When Congress was founded, both the House and the Senate required only a simple majority to pass a bill. In 1805, Vice President Aaron Burr, while facing murder charges for killing Alexander Hamilton in a duel, suggested that the Senate remove its previous question rule, as it was almost never used. That minor edit created a fatal loophole in Senate procedures, ultimately allowing the minority party to obstruct progress by endlessly extending debate through what was later dubbed the filibuster. In 1841, South Carolina Senator John Calhoun, perhaps the fiercest defender of slavery in U.S. history, figured out he could rally his fellow slave state senators, a minority in the Senate, to grind proceedings to a standstill with long speeches and other procedural obstacles.
For the first 200 years of its existence or so, the Senate was majority rule.
That's Adam Gentleson, author of Kill Switch, The Rise of the Modern Senate and the Crippling of American Democracy, speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
Even as the filibuster started to develop in Calhoun's time, all that senators could do was delay a bill. They had to talk on the floor, and eventually they had to give up.
That changed after World War I. Southern senators targeted anti-lynching laws, managing to block 200 attempts over the years to formally designate lynching as a federal crime. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul single-handedly blocked passage of the Emmett Till anti-lynching law in June of 2020, even though the bill passed the House by a vote of 400-4. Southern Democratic Dixiecrats, led by South Carolina Senator Strom Thurmond, also filibustered major civil rights legislation. Thurmond holds the record for filibustering, delaying passage of the 1957 Civil Rights Act by speaking for 24 hours and 18 minutes. The 1964 Civil Rights Act was filibustered for close to 75 days before it finally passed. The filibuster has been used more and more to block not just civil rights legislation, but practically all progressive bills. As the filibuster is currently practiced, a senator does not need to hold the floor to stop a bill, but needs only to place a phone call to the Senate staff. Thus, a single senator has the power to secretly kill legislation, even a bill with overwhelming public support. Congressional Democrats hope to pass a slew of bills. The For the People Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Act to protect voting rights, the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act, bills to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour, and major infrastructure bills that will include elements of a Green New Deal to combat catastrophic climate change. Democratic Congress members Pramila Jayapal and Debbie Dingell have just introduced a Medicare for All bill, which amidst the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic has growing support. None of these has a chance if the Senate filibuster stays in place. Democrats will need all 50 of their senators to change it, and currently conservative Democrats Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona have pledged to reject an outright ending of the filibuster. President Biden publicly supports a return to the talking filibuster, requiring senators intent on filibustering to actually hold the floor, speaking without interruption. Manchin says he's open to that, and presumably Sinema could be convinced as well. Kentucky Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has pledged a scorched-earth response to any change in the filibuster. McConnell, like slavery's arch-defender John Calhoun 180 years ago, wields raw power with a ruthlessness almost unparalleled in U.S. Senate history. The filibuster has been a tool of white supremacists for far too long. A fleeting opportunity to end it has arrived. For the growing diverse majority in this country, it has become an intolerable impediment to progress and must end now. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow? I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
Advocates for people with disabilities say the cap New York put on Medicaid spending in 2011 doesn't keep pace with growing health care needs, and they're urging lawmakers to finally repeal it. Governor Andrew Cuomo's 2021-22 budget proposal calls for extending the Medicaid cap for two more years. But according to Heidi Siegfried with the Center for Independence of the Disabled New York, the cap is arbitrary, unrelated to growth in Medicaid enrollment, and unresponsive to medical needs.
It's really affected people with disabilities who rely on long-term home care in particular to stay out of nursing facilities and to get the services they need to remain in their home.
She says lawmakers in both the state assembly and Senate have introduced legislation to repeal the global Medicaid cap. With the pandemic, Medicaid enrollment in New York has increased by more than 700,000 in the past year, And Siegfried notes that last year, Cuomo wanted to limit eligibility for home care under the program.
Even before the increase in enrollment, we saw that the services that we rely upon are the services that were really being targeted for cuts, and it was driven by this Medicaid global spending cap.
The cap also allows the state's division of the budget to unilaterally cut the Medicaid budget in mid-year without legislative oversight to keep spending under the cap. Siegfried points out that the federal government generally picks up about half of Medicaid costs in the state, and during the pandemic, that has been increased.
And in the most recent relief bill that was signed by President Biden, they put an additional increase for Medicaid if the state would spend it to improve home and community-based services.
She adds that, with few exceptions, home care is less expensive than forcing people into long-term care facilities. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, the first day of spring, it will be sunny with a high near 55 degrees. And Saturday night clear with a low of around 30 degrees. And on Sunday, sunny with a high near 58 degrees. Sunday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 32 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
This is really me now. No more hiding. Listen, we're all worried. We're all in pain. That comes with having eyes, with having ears. But just remember one thing. It can't get any worse. It can only get better. Quitting is not going to make you strong. Living will. So just hang on and hang in there. You know, I know all about the hating and the sneering. I'm a member of the Why Bother generation myself. But why did I bother to come out here tonight? And why did you? I mean, it's time. It begins with us, not with politicians, the experts, or the teachers, but with us. With you and with me, the ones who need it most. I believe, with everything that's in me, that the whole world is longing for a healing. Even the trees, the earth itself, are crying out for it. You can hear it everywhere. Same kind of healing I desperately needed, and finally feel has begun with you.
Mm-hmm.
from the 2021 album Dark Matrix. That was Daniel Carter on reeds and Matthew Shipp on piano with the song Element. We'll hear from Gwen Wright, who launched her campaign to unseat Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin on Saturday, March 6th with an online rally. WOOC's Corinne Carey spoke to her about the election coming up.
Gwen, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
You just launched your campaign for Rensselaer County Executive. Can you tell me what motivated you to run for this position?
I have retired from my position in the state of New York back in 2019, and it freed me up to really sort of spend some time in my neighborhood and in my community and get to know people who live in my area better than when I was working. I also took some time to work at a local small business. I worked at a women's clothing store here in Skodak. Then the pandemic hit. As someone who was working in that small business, the impact on my neighbors was seen kind of up close and personal in that way. It also gave me, as I think it did many people, time to think about sort of what's the next chapter in your life. I was approached about running for political office, and the county executive race seemed to be the one that best fit me. I have almost 40 years under the belt of doing administrative and managerial work in the nonprofit and the public sector. So I felt like my skills and experience really lent themselves to the county executive position.
Many of our listeners may know that the current Rensselaer County executive is Steve McLaughlin, but they might not know what the county executive does. Can you explain what the position entails?
So the county executive is basically the chief executive for the county. The county executive is responsible for maintaining a budget that is passed with the approval of the county legislature. And that budget is what funds things like road maintenance, infrastructure things. It provides money that goes back down to the towns for the things that they need in terms of maintaining the various parts and parcels of running a town or village. The county executive also oversees all of the county services. So things like the Department of Social Services and the Department of Mental Health Services, the informational systems in the county. So those kinds of things. It's really an administrative position. Not all counties have one. So it's sometimes unclear for people who live in a county that does not have a county executive.
Why do you think Rensselaer County needs a change in leadership?
Well, you know, I think Rensselaer County is prime for a couple of things. One is we have been seeing development throughout the county, from our rural communities to our cities, our towns, and our suburban areas. I think that Rensselaer County could be doing that in a more planful way, a way that doesn't eliminate our green space in order to create more development, whether that is business or housing or what have you. I think that we need to have a more comprehensive, forward-thinking plan. I think that needs to be coupled with the environmental impact that it has on our land, on our water, on our air, that those things go hand in hand with one another. I also think that Rensselaer County could be thinking of itself more as a tourist destination and really promoting itself as such. I think we have some wonderful attributes that most people don't know about. For example, we have three state parks here in Rensselaer County that are really nice, quiet places for people to go to the beach or to go boating. One accesses the river. The other two have lakes and walking and hiking paths. So I think that there are a lot of things that we have to offer as a county that we could be taking better advantage of. And certainly the city of Troy has been put on the map by movie companies who are coming here to do filming in the same way that they've done that in Albany. And I think, again, that's an industry that we could have a stronger connection to.
What should voters know about your past experience and how it primes you for this position?
I think that what voters should know is I'm a strong leader. I have worked in several different capacities and leadership roles. My tenure with the state, I came in at a fairly entry-level position and was promoted up through the ranks to run a state agency. And I did that under both Republican and Democratic governors. So I think that I also have the ability to get along well with people who agree with me and people who don't agree with me. I think that I bring to the table a strong desire and belief in collaboration and have experience in coordinating across a myriad of voices. And so I think that my background lends itself to a more people-friendly, if you will, administration. It is my goal to be able to really represent the voices of a diverse group of people in the county of Rensselaer, not just listening to one side or another, but really to hear all sides of an issue and come up with the best solutions by working collaboratively.
What are some of the first things that you would do as Rensselaer County Executive?
I think one of the first things that I would want to do as the county executive is really to hear from the citizens of this county. I think one of my first tasks is going to be to figure out a mechanism by which the average person can communicate their needs to the county executive and vice versa, that the county executive's office, I think, needs to be more meaningful to the people that it serves. You know, you started out asking me about the county executive and what does the county executive do? Well, most people have no idea what the county executive does, but we have lots of county services that are important to the people who live in the county. And so in some ways, it's kind of a PR program for the county. How can we help you and how can you help us?
Gwen, what do you like to do when you're not running for office?
Well, that's a great question. So when I'm not running for office, I have dabbled in community theater. I have worked with several local community troops in Rensselaer, Schenectady, and Albany counties. I sew a lot. I've been happily sitting and making masks, as many people have. And I spend time with my spouse of almost 40 years and my new puppy and my grandchildren when I can.
You mentioned all the parks and the attractions in Rensselaer County. Where could we find you on a day that's sunny?
Where I was just before this interview was walking along the Empire Trail, which runs practically in front of my house. So I think that that is yet another really neat thing that's here in the county. It stretches from Rensselaer all the way down into Nassau. You can literally walk or bike that or run that trail. So, and it's lovely. And like I said, with a new puppy, it's been a very nice thing to have right nearby. So I don't have to walk on the road. The other place that you'll find me is at Grafton State Park. My grandchildren who come up from the city love going there, love swimming, love taking out the boats. One of the highlights for me is also East Greenbush Town Park because they have one of the best dog parks in the area. And I don't want the word to get out too far because I don't want droves of people coming. But if you need a dog park and you're a resident of East Greenbush, that's the place to go.
That's great. Where can folks find out more about your campaign?
They can go to our website, which is Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, the number 4, Rensco, R-E-N-S-C-O.com. And you can sign up to volunteer and you can sign up to donate. We are happy to have people signing up for a myriad of things. So if you have some time and energy and want to support a great candidate, go to Write for Rensco.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me about your candidacy.
Again, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for your interest, and I look forward to future conversations.
Thank you.